The topic today, well, as you know, that during this last several weeks, we are working on restructuring the way we think. We are working in restructuring the way we think. Last week we spoke about, I just can't hold it all together. Remember?
Yes.
Well, tonight, we are talking about overwhelming. I am overwhelmed. How many times, time and over again, we hear the people in the house of God, we hear the people of God talking about being overwhelmed. Now, there is good overwhelming, and there is bad overwhelming. What? Overwhelm is never bad, or it's never good, whatever one you choose to say. But I am in a quest today to prove to you that there is good overwhelming, and there is bad overwhelming. Okay. I don't kind of understand what you mean by good and bad overwhelming. People can get overwhelmed by trouble. Brother Harry, may I have Psalms 52, 55, verse 2. Psalms 55, 2. Let me have the New Living Translation. We stick with the New Living Translation for tonight. People can get overwhelmed by trouble. Psalms 55, 2 has a very precious lesson to anyone who wants to listen. Let's read it together. Please listen and answer me, for I am overwhelmed by my troubles. So what you're saying, preacher, I'm saying that people can get overwhelmed by troubles. Did you hear what I said? We can get easily overwhelmed by trouble. I want the two of you over this side. You see, you're picking on these girls. No, I'm not. It's enough of this nonsense. You have children coming to church and they're in the back playing, talking, making noise and running. That's enough. And it's going to start with my house. People can get overwhelmed by trouble. It seems like sometimes it's so much junk going on that we can get easily overwhelmed. But I want you to realize that in the last 8 weeks, we are trying to develop a habit. What kind of habit? A habit to establish a new routine in our lives. We want to form the habit of abstaining from negative thinking. You know, when you stop and listen to the statement coming out of God's people, it's overwhelming. Have you ever felt overwhelmed? Of course we did, right? So tonight's meditation is for you. Many times people are burdened down with thoughts like this. Oh, this will take forever. For God to answer my prayer. Anybody have been through there?
Yeah.
Huh? I've got too much to do. Overwhelmed with things. Mm-hmm. Things to do. Or you hear people say, this is too much for me. Too much for me to take. Huh? All the time people get overwhelmed, then they will say, there isn't enough time. And many times they'll say, I can't take it anymore. Well, folks, These are defeating thoughts, and they've got to go today. Amen. I want to start by saying this. Think about this. Everything you see in this world was created by God in 6 short days. Is anybody listening to me? Everything that you can put your eyes on this planet, was created by God in 6 short days. So what does it got to do with anything? God is in the business of getting things accomplished. It didn't take God 7 years to create what you see. It took 7 days, which tells me that God is in the business of getting things accomplished. And he's in the business of getting it done fast. You can expect his help today. And you don't have to carry your burden alone. Are we together? Now, there are the people that are overwhelmed by sin. Do you know that sin can overwhelm somebody? Psalm 65, verse 3, on the New Living Translation, tells us that sin can overwhelm people. Psalm 65, 3. Watch this. Though we are overwhelmed by our sins, you forgive them all. So you don't have to be overwhelmed by sin, because God is willing to forgive those sins, so you don't have to remain overwhelmed. You know that people that are constantly overwhelmed, they develop a trend that will affect the arteries of their hearts. When they are overwhelmed and become anxious about something for a long time, it will lead into depression. God doesn't want you to be led into depression or even into paranoia. I was just reading that when people get overwhelmed for too long, it becomes an anxiety, paranoid type of behavior. And this is why God doesn't want you and I to be overwhelmed. If we have sinned if we have committed any sin, God is willing to forgive all those sins when we come to Him. Amen. Now, Psalm 61:2 tells us another thing that causes us to be overwhelmed. Watch this. Psalm 61, verse 2. From the ends of the earth, I cry to you for help when my heart is overwhelmed. Then lead me to the towering rock of safety. Sometimes when you are distant, away from home, you can get overwhelmed. I know a young fella that one time he went to study on the other side of the world. He was in school for like 3 months. And he would call almost on a daily basis because he was overwhelmed with the absence of the family. But when this kind of overwhelming coming through, we can count on the fact that God will lead us to the rock. Amen. That is higher than us. Amen. Brother, give me the backslide translation here on this verse. I'm curious now. When I'm far from anywhere, down to my last gasp, I call out, guide me up, high rock mountain. We can get overwhelmed by distance, but God is there to take us to a safe place. When we go to Psalms 102, verse 1, there's something interesting here. I like the New Living Translation better. 102, verse 1. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my plea. So what's interesting about this? Brother Harry, can you put the King James in that, please? Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. No matter where we are, no matter how overwhelmed we may be, Jesus, God promises to hear our cry.
Hallelujah.
All these are bad, overwhelming. Sometimes we worry so much that we get overwhelmed. In the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 18 and verse 19, Mark 4, 18 and 19, speaks about another type of bad overwhelming. And this is really, really, really bad. Let's read it. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it become unfruitful. You may be asking, what does it got to do with overwhelming? Now give me the New Living Translation, sir. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life. The lure of wealth and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. What are you talking about here? This kind of overwhelming is the overwhelmingness that will choke the word of God and prevent it from growing. What are you talking about? The worries about life. The lure for wealth. The desire for other things. You know, have you noticed that we are a pretty much messed up society?
Amen.
We load our credit cards and fill up our houses with so much junk. Then when there is no more place to put the junk, we go down the street, pay $1 for the first month storage place, and fill a storage place with junk. Now that the house is a little bit unclogged, we go out again, buy all things on sale, fill up the house again. By the end of the year, the house and the storage is full. So what do? We take the things that we are no longer too attracted to it, give it to Salvation Army, and move the junk from the house to the storage. Are we together so far? And then we go back and fill it up again. Is that crazy, that desire for things, never-ending desire for things, the lure for wealth, of wealth, huh? And the worries of this life that overwhelms our faith and chokes it up. Now you may be thinking, okay, preacher, you're only talking about bad overwhelming. Is there anything good about overwhelming? As you said, yes, it is. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 10, we read about a good overwhelming that each one of you should have it. Each one of you should have. Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 10. This is good overwhelming. Let's read it. I am overwhelmed with... Now, you're not listening. This is good overwhelming. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God. Why? For he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom in his wedding suit, or a bride with her jewels. When God pitches in, when God kicks in, when God moves in, when God takes care, when God is the center, we will be overwhelmed with the joy of our God. This is good overwhelming. This is the overwhelming that all of us should always have. When we suffer from bad overwhelming, there are several ways to get out of the overwhelming. Most people don't understand what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Give me the New King James, brother. Or the King James, doesn't matter. I'm seeing that everybody's looking to me if I had three heads. So let's go. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find the rest for your souls. Now, a lot of people doesn't understand what Jesus meant when he said, take my yoke upon you. So, I feel like asking questions, but I don't want to embarrass anybody tonight. But just for the sake of having fun, when you hear that expression, take my yoke upon you, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Huh?
All my troubles. All my pain.
That's what the first thing comes to your mind? Okay. When you hear the word, take my yoke. Anybody else? What is the first thing come to you?
I think he's saying, take his word. And if you learn of his word, take and learn of him, then your burden will become easy.
So this is what you think when you hear the sentence, take my yoke.
Right.
Sis? Okay.
The word.
Okay, somebody else thinks about the word. Yes.
An egg.
Huh? An egg? Glory to God. He's thinking about egg yolk. Glory to God. Folks, you all know this, but I don't think that we always put it together. A yoke is a harness, or it's an instrument placed upon two oxen.
I have a picture of it. You want to see
it? You do have a picture? Yeah. A yoke is a harness or an instrument placed upon two oxen. So what does it do? It causes them to plow together. You see with me, right? So what's the big deal? The big deal is when one gets weak or overwhelmed. Are we together so far? He can continue the journey by being pulled by the other that is not overwhelmed. You see there? That's a yoke. Jesus said, take my yoke. What does he mean? When I think about the yoke, you got to have two beasts. If the one on the left get overwhelmed, the one on the right will be able to pull it and they can continue the journey. Are you still with me?
Yes.
When Jesus said, take my yoke, he's literally saying, hey, I am on this together with you. Just come along under my yoke, and whenever you get weak, overwhelmed, or tired, I'll pull it. And he is the one who will do most of the heavy lifting. You're not getting this. My brother and my sister. Jesus is attached to us and will help us carry the load.
Yes.
And of course, he always ends up doing most of the carrying. Poor Jesus. You know what I mean? So, preacher, what can I do to change this overwhelming mentality? What can I do to change this overwhelming thinking stuff? All right, let's have a few things here that can help changing that overwhelming thinking. Number one, cast your cares upon him. This is why both of you are yoked. Let him do the heavy lifting. He's specialized on this. In the book of 1 Peter 5:7, Brother Harry, give me the New Living Translation. 1 Peter 5:7, watch this. Give all you and be, why? So you don't have to be overwhelmed. You are yoked with Christ. Give all your worries to Him.
Amen.
Give all your cares to Him. Yes, why? Lord. Because you've got a God who cares about you. How do I do that, preacher? Be honest. Tell Him what is wrong. Ask Him to carry it for you. And believe that He will.
Amen.
Remember, after you cast your cares, leave it right there. Don't run back to pick it up. Let Jesus carry the load for you because He cares about you.
Yes.
Are we together so far?
Yes.
May I have Brother Harry, may I please have the backslide translation here, please? Live carefree before God. Why? So why be worried? Why be, you know what I mean? Let's live carefree. Let's be honest, you know. Let's cast all the junk upon Him. Let Him carry it. I was talking to somebody recently. A saint, let me put it this way, that comes from another congregation and start attending on Tuesday mornings like 4 or 5 weeks now. And this person was taken to the hospital with chest pain. Well, from the hospital, I get a phone call in the office. Pray for so-and-so-and-so because so-and-so has been admitted into emergency room. What's the problem? Chest pain. Okay. So I prayed for the person, and while I'm praying, the Lord said, worries about family members. I'm thinking, what? This person don't even have children, but is worried about the nephews. What? I backed off. Well, it comes to pass that 2 days later, I get a phone call from the victim. So how are you doing? I'm feeling better, Pastor. But I want you to pray for my nephews. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. I want them to come to church. Stop it. Are you telling me that you land on a hospital, on an emergency room, for nothing? What did the doctor say? They cannot find nothing with me, so they gave him some tranquilizers. And I'm like, what an idiot. You are worrying yourself to an emergency room unnecessarily. Then I ask her, how do you want me to make your funeral? Excuse me? How do you want me to make your funeral? What kind of question is this? I said, because by the way that you sound, Pastor, I want you to pray for my nephews. They will bury you. Oh my God, how could you ever say something like this to people? You are worrying about something you can't control. You can't get inside your nephew's head. And when they land in jail, worrying out here will not cause them to come out. What do I do? Drop them at Calvary Cross. But I heard that in jail they have some violent people. Well, maybe that's what they need. They got beat up in jail so they can make up their mind to serve Christ. But the way things are going, you're going to worry yourself to death. So let's be honest. Live a carefree life. But you don't understand. I love those kids. You don't understand. Somebody else loves them more than you do. You haven't died on the cross for them. Somebody else did it. So folks, instead of getting overwhelmed, let's live a carefree life before God. Because God can and will take care of you and I. Number two, see yourself attached or yoked to Jesus. Why? Jesus will hold you up and pull you when you're weak and overwhelmed. Listen to Job 26:2. Let's go back to the New Living Translation, brother. I can't. Today I'm not on the mood for the thous and those and this and whatnot. In that time of trouble, when things are difficult, Jesus is willing to hold you up. Jesus is willing to pull you. This is why Job said, "How you have helped the powerless. How you have saved the weak." It's in the tough time when you're powerless, when you are weak, when you are overwhelmed. Imagine yourself yoked with Jesus. And let Jesus carry the heavy load. When you go to Psalm 72:13, you find this. Psalms 72:13. Let's continue on the NLT. Third graders, can you read it together? He feels pity for the weak and needy, and he will rescue them. When you are overwhelmed and you are yoked with Jesus, he'll have pity on you. When you're needy and overwhelmed, he will rescue you. Say amen.
Amen.
May I have the backslide translation here, brother, just for curiosity? He opens a place in his heart for the down and out. So why be overwhelmed? You know, when you come to him, the book says, he opens a place on his heart for people that are overwhelmed. You're not alone on this, folks. Don't carry all that heavy load by your own. Run to God. You know, when you go a little bit further in the book of Psalms, chapter 73, verse 26, there's another promise for people that are overwhelmed. Let's go to NLT. Psalm 73, verse 26. Read it with me. My health may fail, my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. No need to be overwhelmed. Amen. No need to be desperate. No need to be about to lose your life, because it's not worthy. God will always be the strength of your heart. Now I'm curious about what does the backslider translation say. I was reading this. When my skin sags and my bones get brittle, God is rock firm and faithful. No need to be overwhelmed. Your God is rock firm and faithful. Amen. When you go a little bit further, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, 28, for people that are constantly overwhelmed, here's a promise. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, NLT. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depth of his understanding. Are you overwhelmed? Think about being yoked with Jesus, because he never grows weak or weary. Would you tell your neighbor, your God will never grow weak or weary? You can count on that. And then when you go one more verse, verse 29, it's sweet. Watch this. He gives power. You don't have to be overwhelmed. There is plenty strength and power in your God.
Amen.
You can bank on that. One or two more verses. When you go, and this is a little crazy, I know. But I want you to listen to it anyway. To Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 16. Here is the promise that is worth reading. Ezekiel 34, verse 16. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 16. Read it with me. I will search for my lost ones who strayed away. I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak, but I will destroy those who are fat and powerful. I will feed them, yes, feed them justice. There's no reason for you to be overwhelmed by family members that are there. There's no reason for you to be overwhelmed by people that are trying to give you a hard time. Your God will take care of those in your family that are strayed away. Your God will make sure that those who are giving you a hard time will be taken care of. And He will feed you with justice. No need to be overwhelmed. One more scripture on this topic. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 19. It's a book on the Bible, believe me. A few months ago, I called Zephaniah. Somebody on the back, huh? It's a book on the Bible. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 19. Let's read it. And I will deal severely with all who have oppressed you. So don't get overwhelmed. I will save the weak and helpless one. I will bring together those who were chased away. I will give glory and fame to my former exiles. Whatever they have been mocked and shamed. Don't get overwhelmed. Your God is promised to take care of those who are oppressing us. God has promised to give us glory. Whatever people has tried to shame us. Number three, how to get rid of overwhelmness. Begin to believe you can handle anything. Is anybody with me here?
Yes.
So what you're saying? Let's get the if out of our back. Let's put it this way. I want to say out of our belief system. Let's begin to believe today that we can handle anything. We can handle and accomplish anything. Say amen.
Amen.
Ifs should not be part of our believing creed. In Mark 9:23, the Message Bible has it so beautiful. Mark 9:23. Jesus said, if. There are no ifs among believers. Come on, let's read it again, huh? Jesus said, if. There are no ifs among believers. Anything can happen. So what you're saying, preacher? Anything can happen. All things are possible for people to believe. So begin to believe today that you and I can handle anything. Let's get rid of the ifs and get rid of the overwhelming thoughts. Good gracious. Are you done? Not yet. Give me one more scripture. From this time forth, from tonight on, start feasting on this thought. What kind of thought? Nothing is too difficult for my God. Say it with me. Nothing is too difficult for my God. Oh, come on. Say it like you mean it. Start feasting on that thought. Is that ma'am, Lenko? You better believe. Elder Ellis, can you give me Jeremiah 32:17? And please give me again the New Living Translation. Jeremiah 32:17. Start feasting. Start feeding on the thought that nothing is difficult to your God. So if it's not difficult for your God, God is in you and you are in Him, it's not difficult to you too. Then don't get overwhelmed. Let's read it. O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth by your strong hand and powerful arms. And?
Nothing is too hard for you.
Look at your neighbor and say, nothing is too hard for your God to do for you. Soak in that thought. Instead of getting overwhelmed, soak in on the thought that nothing is too hard. Nothing is too difficult for your God. Nothing is too difficult for your God to do. Start thinking about this. Feeding the thought. Soaking in that thought. And stop getting overwhelmed. You want to see how crazy it gets? Brother Harry, may I have the backslide translation, please? Dear God, my Master, you created earth and the sky by your great power. By merely stretching out your arm, there is nothing you can do. Folks, it does not pay to be overwhelmed because your God has never found something too difficult that he can't handle. There's nothing you can't do.
Hallelujah.
And if your God can do everything, you are in Jesus, you also can do everything. Isn't that what Paul said? I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. We want you to be happy. We want you to live a healthy and happy life.
Yes.
So let's get rid of overwhelmingness because it's not getting you anywhere. You know what? Brother Harry, may I have the same verse on the King James Version? Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and the stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee. Look at thy neighbor and tell thy neighbor, there is nothing too hard to thy God. Quit it. Quit getting overwhelmed. You are on the winning side.
Amen.
You are in the strong side. I wish you would repeat with me this scripture. Will you? I can handle anything today. Tomorrow. Until the end of my life. Because I'm yoked to Jesus. Today,
I resolve in my heart
that I'm casting all my cares on Jesus.
He cares for me.
He cares for me.
He cares
And will carry my load. Goodbye, overwhelming.
Goodbye, overwhelming.
One more thought. I realize today,
nothing is too difficult for my God.
Therefore, I declare that nothing is too difficult for me either. He is the author and finisher of my faith.
And he is on my side.
I will not allow
myself to be overwhelmed.
Because I know
my success is determined
by how I think.
I will think right.
I will succeed.
And I say goodbye to overwhelmingness.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.